this a question. I am persuaded, and I, of course, it's like that because I want us to examine whether we really are persuaded. And it's taken from Romans. We'll start at the 35th verse, and then we'll go down to the 38th, to the rest of it. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Now, I always start with prayer. So let's bow our heads. Dear Father, here we are again before you. Yes, Lord. Will you direct? Will you anoint? Will you bless? Will you have your way in Jesus' name? I'm so thankful I'm learning, Lord, how to just trust you, not my own self or strength. So, Lord, I pray your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, this is Paul. I want us to think about this. I am persuaded. I am persuaded, am I? That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want us to think, how deep is, if we take it personally, how deep is my commitment to God? How deep is it? Is it deep enough that death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, or things to come, no height, no depth, no matter how high the situation is, how deep it is, shall be able, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. You know, I know that if we don't have this kind of commitment, if we have not gone through and settled it, something will separate us. No, I was thinking about, I've been thinking about how, you know, different people, maybe they go along and they do so well, maybe for months, years, and then they get tripped up. And why? Why? Why would a person that seemed to love God so much and so endeared to God allow something to trip them up? I think sometime we need to examine ourselves. How far can I go for the Lord? You know, I've had some grief within the year, and I've had grief many times. I remember when my mother passed one time, the year that she passed, I felt so much grief. It was like a hole in my heart. I remember looking up and saying, she's somewhere, but where? I knew she was in heaven. I knew that. I had no doubt that she wasn't there. But then I felt all that I know, all that I believe, all that I understand about God, so much of that came from her. It came from her teaching. It came from the life she lived before me. And now she's gone. And I was grieved. I had little children. I had my husband. Had all these things, but it looked like it was, did not anything. None of that mattered. I was just so grieved. And then the Lord spoke to me. He said, "Let me heal you." I opened my heart and let him heal me. And I could continue on. Do you know, I believe God loves us so much, we won't have an excuse for anything to separate us from the love of God. Because he's going to give us whatever we need, even in those times that looks like we can't go any farther. He's going to be right there talking to us, trying to comfort us if we let him. So we have to fight those battles and make those decisions while there's not a stormy time. It's very hard to build in the storm. So we have to make those decisions and examine ourselves and see how deep our commitment is to God and make that while the times are good. So when the bad times, we can make it. How can we be persuaded that nothing shall separate us from the love of God? I think about Matthew. Jesus tells of the scripture. He tells in the scripture of how there's those that hear these words of mine and do it them shall be built upon the rock. The storms came, the floods beat upon that house, and it fell not. But then those who do not obey those words of his, they are building on the sand. So when the storms come and the floods come, it builds on, it pushes against that house and it falls. And great is the fall of it. Do you know if we fall, a lot of time we take other people with us. We need to build in a way that we can stand, because there are other people that are looking upon us and depending on our walk with God, depending on our faithfulness. So we need to do all we can. Of course, the first thing we have to be sure of a good experience of salvation. We have to know that everything is well with us in the Lord. That's how we start. We get a good, genuine relationship with God. You know, just having, I go to church, and brother so-and-so says, the pastor say do this, I do it. He say don't do that. That's not good enough. We need to have this personal. Because when pastor leaves off the scene of the, and I've seen this happen, when he's gone, what are we holding to? Just what the, now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I believe you should obey the pastor. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying, it needs to go deeper than that. That you're obeying him because he's telling you what God said to do, you see. And then you will have something to hold to. I hear people, when I was in, I had been in Texas, then I got married. But while I was in Texas, before I got married, Sister Judy, I don't know if any of you all know her, but she had gotten saved. But when I left, it was like she told me, she said, you said you had a burden for Dallas. In other words, now you're leaving. And where's Judy today? She's not there. We can't afford to so hold to, you know, put people up on a pedestal to where when they move, maybe the Lord sent them somewhere else, we can't stand. We have to have a personal relationship with God that will stand the storms of life, whatever they may be. I am persuaded. Am I? Yes, I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded that what I have is serious between me and God. It's not something that stopped when my mother passed. It's not something that stopped when my husband died. It's not something that stopped when things, you know, stopped being good for me. I lost my daughter. That was hard. It's still hard. I miss her. You know, she was a dear daughter. There are some children that are dear children. They close to you. They talk to you. The day before she died, the evening before she died, we were on the phone together. Everything was okay as far as I know. We had prayer together that night on the phone. The next morning, they're telling me my daughter's gone. Couldn't wake her up. Now, that was enough to break me. I guess it was designed to break me. But I have a relationship between me and my father that goes beyond that. And I was thinking about in Psalms 27, it says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. We have to be so rooted and so attached to the Lord that when all the things that's foundation stones, so to speak, for us are gone, we're still holding fast. If I lose my house or I lose my car, I lose this or lose that, I need a help. I need a build so solid that I will not let those things move me. One scripture, Paul says, none of these things shall move me. I'm persuaded, right? I'm persuaded neither death. But in one, he said, none of these things move me. We have to have it where those things won't move us. Let's go to Ephesians 4 and 30. Now, how are we going to do this? One thing, if we're fully saved, like that song, I'm fully saved today, and I'm walking in the narrow way, this will help us to be able to stand. We should. When we're saved, we got a good experience of salvation. If we haven't been sanctified, we sure need to go on to perfection. I think I have the wrong scripture. Hold on just a minute, please. Four and 30. Okay. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. What that is saying, that the Holy Spirit will seal you. We can, when we get the Spirit of God in our heart, it will seal us until the day of redemption. We'll be able to stand no matter what happens. If you want to say, well, how in the world you been saved for all these years? Because you have to get the Holy Spirit in you and get the power of God where you'll be able to stand. Just like in Acts 1 and 8, it says that some of you probably say, well, we know this. But then some people might need to be reminded. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the utmost parts of the earth. How are we going to be able to say, I am persuaded that none of these things will separate me from the love of God? It's because the Spirit of God has come into my heart, taken up his boat, given me the power to be able to stand in whatever time, in whatever thing we deal with. We think about Peter. Peter was persuaded, he thought. He says, though all men forsake you, I will not forsake you. He was persuaded, right? What did he do? He denied the Lord. But you know, after the day of Pentecost, after Peter got filled with the Holy Ghost, there was no denying the Lord after that. And you know something else? Brother, tell me, this is what I've heard, that Peter just said he didn't want to be crucified like the Lord. He wanted to be upside down. I don't know that. I didn't read that, but I've heard that. So you see, he had power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon. Some of the reasons people fail, they really don't have the Holy Ghost. But when you get the Holy Ghost in you, you will be able to stand whatever happens to you. My mother, she was sick. She was near death. She never turned. She never changed. She didn't throw up hand. She was in a lot of pain. They say she didn't get tested or anything, but they think she had cancer. But God saw her through. Don't you know, cancer or any kind of pain and suffering or whatever we go through, God can see us through. We can be persuaded. Not only persuaded, we can be determined to go through. So, let's go to Hebrews 6 and 1. I am persuaded that none of these things shall separate me from the love of God. There are a lot of things happening to people today, and I believe they're so designed to make us turn our backs on the Lord, but we don't have to. If you get a good taste of the Lord, you don't want to turn your back on the Lord. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. When we get saved, we need to move on to perfection. And we don't need to waste time and just put it off, because if we do, you know what? The enemy will take advantage of you. We don't want that to happen. We want to be faithful, and in order to be faithful, we need his power working in us. Let's go to Acts 12 and 1. Well, it's just a few little thoughts. I hope that it'll be encouragement, because, you know, I think about Job. If you think about it, Job was probably having an ordinary day, getting up, praying for his sons and daughters while they having their little gatherings. This particular day, he faced a massive problem, something that could have turned his eyes away from God. And the devil was bent on trying to show that if you take everything he has, he'll curse you to his face. But he didn't do that. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's go now to Acts. Now, after that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John. The brother of John with the sword. And because it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter. We think about Peter and how that God really blessed him after he was sanctified. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in the prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains and kept before the door, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Now, Peter no longer is even concerned. He's sleeping. How many of us, if we were thrown in prison, would be able to be all bound up like that and just sleeping? Seemed like he was comfortable. And of course, you know what happened. God took him. He sent the angel, and his chains fell off, and he delivered him, and God blessed him in a special way. When we have these things that come upon us like this, God is fully able and will be right there with us. We need to trust him that he will see us through. So we want to be encouraged that after we have done all we can to hold fast unto God's unchanging hand. Let's go back to Romans 8:35. Now, I want us to think, am I persuaded? Am I persuaded that none of these things have moved me? That nothing will separate us from the love of God? If I have done all I could, if I've given my heart wholly to the Lord, if I have a personal relationship with him, if I have received of his spirit, we can be persuaded that nothing will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So who can separate us from the love of God? He said, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that love us. For I am persuaded, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. You know, we don't have an excuse. Jesus made sure when he came here, he died for our sins, that we could get clean and we could get a personal relationship with him. And he sent his comforter to give us power. So we have no excuse not to have this kind of persuasion that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Pray for me.